Let's give the Lord praise.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He enfolds us in his loving arms. So awesome. Father God, we just pray now that you will continue to accept our worship. And Father, your word will be as worship to each of us. And that our hearts would be open to receive it. And Father, I believe this morning that you sent it as you send the rain to water the earth. This is here to water our hearts. And so, Father, I pray your blessing upon it. Anoint my lips and anoint the hearts of the people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Entitled, yo. That wasn't me. Please, bring it down. My voice is not too far down. Okay. Yo. Sorry, folk. You know, every time I come up here to do something like this, something happens that blows people's ears out. Okay. Maybe I should preach without the mic and everybody comes and sits forward instead. All right. Yo, Lord Jesus, help us. No, I hope you are. Okay, counseling later. All right. I've entitled the message, The Signet Ring of a Faithful God. The signet ring of a faithful God. If you turn with me to Genesis chapter 41, it's a whole chapter that we're going to be looking at. And very briefly, I'm just going to go through it so that we can get the idea of where we're going this morning. We see Joseph, the man with a technicolor dream coat, a young boy who's his father's favorite. And the brothers get jealous and they plot against him. He gets ostracized. He has a dream and says, "Oh, you're all going to bow down to me." And his father gets angry with him as well. And then the brothers decide, listen, this is enough. This lighty needs to be taught a lesson. So they all gang up against him, tie him up, put him in a well, and a bunch of traders come past, so they sell him and he gets sold into slavery in Egypt. And his life seems to be taking a turn. He gets bought by Potiphar, and Potiphar says, "Okay, you're in charge of my household." But alas, Potiphar's wife has other ideas, and Joseph has to run for his life. He gets thrown into prison. And in prison, Joseph becomes a helping hand to the chief executioner. All right. But while he's there, he meets up with some people. One was a baker and the other a cupbearer. These two gentlemen have a dream and he interprets the dream for them. And it happens exactly as the interpretation says. The baker was put to death and the cupbearer was restored to his position in the king's palace, in Pharaoh's palace. Joseph said to them, "Listen, you know, I helped you. Just put in a good word for me, man. You know, I'm doing all this good work here. I'm not really a bad guy. But, yeah, I am. Just put in a good word for me. See if the Pharaoh won't have mercy on me and just release me." How many times as businessmen, haven't we sort of thought of saying to somebody, "You know, I'll help you, but I expect something in return." Or to just sort of, you know, "It's all right, I'll help you." But in a way, we expect something in return. Many times in our lives, as individuals, we've done that. Joseph goes on with his life. 2 years later, only 2 years later, suddenly there's a change in Joseph's life. Pharaoh has two dreams. And even the wise men couldn't put it together. They didn't know what to say. They couldn't understand the dreams. how the lean cows can eat the fat cows and stay lean, and how the lean corn can eat the fat corn and stay lean. And God blessed Joseph. And suddenly this cupbearer realizes, hey, something, I know somebody that can help you. The wise men in Egypt, guys that were wise beyond their wise, like some of us think that we are. Guys who looked at the stars, interpreted many things, couldn't help Pharaoh. But here he calls this young man, who seems to be a dropout in society, who's having the worst time of his life. He was the favorite, and now he's a prisoner. His life has been utterly but destroyed. He wakes up one morning, not knowing what's going on. Suddenly there's rattling of chains and the door, prison doors are being flung open, and yeah, they come and fetch him and they shave him and they wash him and they put clean clothes on him and they say, Pharaoh wants you, get out there. And they escort him in and dump him in front of Pharaoh. I can just imagine this, because he's almost a prisoner. How can you come into the presence of the king? Pharaoh says, well, this is my dream. Can you interpret it? Joseph's words were, I can't, but God can. I can't, but God can. And I believe that today, for many of us, there's an opportunity. We're standing at that prison door. We've been waiting for our prayers to be answered for a long time. Many times we don't know what's going to happen. Why? Why am I waiting? Why me, Lord? Why am I waiting? Your word says, ask and you will receive. I'm not receiving anything. It's just bouncing off the ceiling. It's just not on. How can this be happening? You imagine Joseph? He's been in prison all this time and this cupbearer suddenly forgets about him. And suddenly 2 years later, click, click, Bobatrick. Yeah, he remembers this guy. And says, oh, you know, when I was in prison because of something I did, you know, there was this young guy that interpreted a dream I had and it all came true. Folk, I'm not saying that we're going to dream and it's going to happen. What I am saying is this. Don't give up. Don't give up on the prayers that you've asked. Don't give up on the promise that God has given you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. And Joseph comes into the presence of the king and he interprets this whole lot. And suddenly, this Pharaoh says, you know what? I'm putting you in charge of my household. See, what had been before is suddenly starting to be again. And I'm not referring to your book, so don't get it. But it's the truth. He'd been the head of Potiphar's household. He's suddenly now the hero of the moment, and he's been made head of Pharaoh's household. To the point that Pharaoh says, he takes off his signet ring and he puts it on Joseph's hand. And folk, that's what God is doing for you and I. That signet ring has much implication for you and I, and we need to take note of it this morning. Church, I get excited when I hear this, because we have a God whose Son came to earth. And he sealed us with his signet ring. We are his children, and he sealed us with that ring. You see, it didn't just happen with Joseph. It happened in Esther's time. Mordecai, Haman had that ring. He was in charge of the king's household. And what happened? ring gets taken away and given to Mordecai. In Haggai, Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, he's lonely. Everything's falling to pieces. He doesn't know what to do. Haggai gets a word from God. In Haggai chapter 2, verse 23, he says, and God says, I'm going to make you like my signatory. And folk, that's what I want to share with you this morning. I want you to begin to understand this morning that we serve a God who has sealed you and I, who has made us what He wants us to be. But many times, because of what we're going through, we're blinded because we just see the problem in front of us. All this problem, why God, why is this not happening? What have I done? What am I doing wrong? It seems like heavens are shut. Nothing's happening. Sorry, I'm just trying to catch up with myself here. He says, I believe that we've just got to get this idea and understand that if we stay faithful, I believe that we're going to see chains broken. Not then. How do we know your chains cannot be broken today? I believe strongly that God can break any chain that you have today. If you believe faithfully in God, you serve God faithfully, no matter what your circumstances are, God can break those chains. And the prison doors are going to fly open because God has broken the locks. He wants you to know that you're not forgotten. We may feel at times that He's forgotten us, but know this, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. The answer this morning, folk, is for us to understand this. So you better get your shaving cream together. You better get your bags packed. Because I believe that today there's a possibility you can be set free. Isn't that enough to praise God for this morning? This morning I'm excited in my spirit to think that God is still working on my behalf. How about you? I know behind the scenes, I don't always see what God is doing. Neither do you. But folk, when God's time is God's time, there is a blessing that's going to come your way. There are chains that are going to be broken. Captives set free. Prison doors are going to fly open. Because that's the God that we serve. I won't take time to read the whole chapter of Scripture, but I'm going to be referring to some of the portions of it. And I want us just to understand this as he arrives to interpret the dream and looks. Let's look at verse 38. It pays to be faithful to God, folk, for He is always faithful to us. Verse 38 of Genesis 41, and Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find any man like this in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has shown you that all this, no one is as discreet and as wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall kiss the hand at your word. In the throne will I be greater than you. What a statement to be made to a man. He wakes up a prisoner. People had forgotten about him. That morning he wakes up like that, and suddenly by the afternoon, he is in charge of the whole of Egypt. You know what, folk? One amen. I think we should be standing up, rejoicing, shouting out, Because God has said, you are in charge. God set you free. And just like that, everything that Joseph had been praying for was answered. Friends, listen, if God is in it, God will do it. And I tell you what, be prepared. There's going to be more than what you are expecting in it. Because God doesn't go half measures. It looks even better. Aren't you glad when God does it? You see, He does big things. More than we can ask for or think of. More than we could ever imagine or dream up. Church, His ways are so much higher. He has much more to give us. As the word was given this morning, there was much more. God says there's much more. There's a table waiting for you, set up for you, with all the blessings I want to just give you. Verse 42, and Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and he put it upon Joseph's hand. And he dressed him with fine linen and robes and put a gold chain around his neck just for a bit of pizzazz. Hey? Yeah. Look, isn't that awesome? You see, because this is when God begins to do the work. When we have no input in it, when we begin to trust Him with everything. You know what that signet ring was? You know what it means for you and I? It's a platinum charge card for the day. It is the way the king stamped the invoices. He took that signet ring and he'd stamp in wax the invoices. If he had a letter, it would be sealed with that ring. That ring meant, that seal meant that there was power behind or whatever was written in there. There was all authority, the backing of the king that was in that. You see, the Romans had that signet ring and they got a lot written about it in the New Testament. But in the first century, I want to tell you this, it was a priority of every nobleman to wear only one piece of jewelry. And that was his signet ring. It's all he was allowed to wear. Because that ring personalized and sealed documents. That ring became a necessary tool. Okay, fine, it changed, later changed into being an accessory of jewelry that some men wear. But it never lost its practical purpose. Today, some people will use personalized wax seal to identify and personalize their documents. Nobles in at least 4 countries in Europe still wear the actual signet ring. The ring seal guarantees the authenticity of a document and is a warning that document must not be altered. Any document carrying the seal has the weight and the authority of the owner who bore it. To possess a seal or a letter with a seal was power. As we've just read in Genesis chapter 41. In Esther chapter 8 verse 2, the king takes off his signet ring that he had reclaimed from Haman and he gives it to Mordecai. As I've mentioned in Haggai chapter 2 verse 23, God says to Zerubbabel, don't be depressed. Don't think that you're the only one going through a hard time. But I've been working behind the scenes. Yes, you've been hurt. You've been disappointed. Yes, you feel as though your life is lower than a snake belly in Snake Valley. But I want to tell you this morning that I will make you like my signet ring. And folk, I want us to begin to take this to heart. God wants to, if he said this morning, as the message came through this morning, there are many blessings that he wants to pour out on you. It's because we're faithful. Because God wants you to know you are sealed with his seal. See, we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior by his blood. We are sealed. We become his true servants. We become people that he has chosen. It was all rather straightforward and universally understood in the first century, even as it is today. And it is that background, that is the background of the seven seals that we read in Revelation, John's Revelation, in Revelations. And on even more personal light, for the seal that God places on the foreheads of those who serve him. It's a seal that God wants to place on your forehead. In Revelation 7:3, do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the forehead of the servant of God. Then I heard a number of those who was sealed, 144 from all the tribes of Israel. And folk, we need to read this properly. The reading of Revelation in the New Testament informs us that it's not just those 144,000. Who were sealed and stamped, but all of God's people. It would be easy to simply read this over and forget about, you know, okay, it's just that. But something that is sure to encourage you and to leave an impression on your self-identity is this. That even though those seals may refer to some things in the New Testament or some happenings, all of them have the potential to impact your life today. And there are four seals that I want to deal with. Four seals. And I'm using the word seal as an acronym. Okay? S is the first one. And it talks of a status. This heavenly seal suggests that God has acknowledged your status. That your identity and authenticity are legitimate. The story of the prodigal son is a beautiful image of God's restoration. It's also a beautiful image of identity. You see, the son, even though far removed relationally from his father, was still a son. We may have children who seem to be wayward, but you know what? They are still your children. God has children, you and I, that at times are wayward, but yet there are times when we realize, even in my father's house, the servants get better food than this. I no longer have to live in this pigsty. And we go back home, and what does the father do? What does the father do? Let's turn to Luke chapter 16, verse 22. And the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Folk, when God says put a ring on your finger, it means he's accepting your status. You are no longer going to be a servant. You are still his child. You're still his son. That's the God that I serve. And I believe that's the God that you serve as well. He calls us back. And through his grace, through mercy, his grace, he says, yes, you deserve to die. You deserve the full punishment of the law. But by my grace, here I even place a seal, a signet ring on your finger to say that you're not a servant. You're not a slave. You are my child. You're my son. You're my daughter. That's the status that God has for you and I. Your status can be sealed in this seen in this seal too. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, it says, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with the inscription,
the Lord knows those who are His. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. And folk, I want to tell you, God knows who you belong to. You're not here by accident this morning. There's a very reason, there's a purpose for you to be here this morning. Because God knows your status. Sometimes, far too many people are nagging. There's a secret in them. There's a doubt. There are doubts about their salvation. Sometimes those doubts are nothing more than a misunderstanding because they don't know and do not understand their salvation. Through Jesus Christ, you have been restored and you belong to the King. God can and will keep His own. He seals them. That means He has taken responsibility and ownership. You are safe and saved in Jesus Christ. And I love this verse in Revelation chapter 7, verse 10. Salvation belongs to our Lord who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. People were bowing down and worshiping God, singing out at the top of their voice, salvation belongs to the Lord who sits on the throne. Belongs to God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. I believe the second point is this, in this heavenly seal. Not only suggests status, but it also implies endorsement. Divine approval and acceptance. The prodigal son not only helps us understand our status as it relates to identity, it also helps us to get a grip on our approval, our acceptance by God. I know that it's a hard one for some of us. We see our incompleteness, our failure, and our sin. God, however, sees us in Christ Jesus and knows what we are becoming and will become. From the prodigal's vantage point, he was unworthy of being identified with his father. But the father had other ideas. You see, folk, love covers a multitude of sins. And that's the God that we serve. He is love. He's not a God of love, but He is a God that loves. Therefore, love covers a multitude of sins. We need to look no further than the end of John's revelation to grasp the principle for ourselves. There we learn that we are Christ's bride, spotless and blameless. Oh, we all see in chapter 12 that there is one who wants to accuse you and discredit your worthiness. But I want to tell you what, he's been cast out of God's presence many, many years ago. He's been cast out. We don't have to take his accusations. You see, because there is one that stands there on your behalf. That is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He gives you a ring of endorsement. When you apply for certain positions or privileges in life, the proper endorsements make all the difference. The right person calls in a favor on your behalf or vouches for you, you're in, especially here in South Africa. The right person endorses you, you've got the job. Well, there's one in heaven who gives you a ring of endorsement. And that one is the advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. In John 6:27, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On Him, God the Father has placed His seal of approval. Folks, do you want to tell me today that if God has placed his seal of approval on Jesus Christ, his son, and Jesus says, I give Keith my ring of endorsement, that God's going to ignore it. Let's be honest with ourselves. Do you think because you're going through a hard time that God has forgotten you? Joseph went through that hard time. We all go through that hard time. Sometimes it hurts. But you know, if we don't get hurt, we're not going to humble ourselves. We're not going to grow. Sometimes we need to grow for that endorsement to happen. Okay. And it happens with all of us. We need to begin to rejoice. And I want to say there's nothing else but the seal of Jesus Christ will get you into the presence of God. It's only that seal that will get you in. God's seal within you is the holy evidence of the Holy Spirit. That He accepts you and that He approves. I believe the next seal of the point of the heavenly seals is this. Assurance. It comforts you with God. You are comforted with God's endorsement. You are provided an unswerving guarantee. An unswaying guarantee of assurance, which is God's divine protection and security. Revelation 3, do not harm the land or the sea until we have put a seal on the foreheads of servants of God. In Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22-23. Now it is God who makes both of us to stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. And folk, today I want to tell you that you have that assurance because you have been sealed by God. Do you recall the story of Nehemiah? He was granted permission to return to rebuild the temple and the city walls of Jerusalem. The king gives him a letter and seals it. But do you think that he walked out of there and everything was easy? It was flying lekker, no problems. I mean, he had plenty bucks. He had all the material he wanted. The king had granted to him. Do you think there was nobody in opposition to him? If you're thinking that, then you're misguided. Okay? You're misguided. Because there was opposition. These guys wanted to lynch him. But you know what saved him? The seal of the king on those letters. Because if they were going to break and destroy and go against that letter, they may as well have declared war against the king. And folk, I want to tell you today, in the spiritual realm, you have been sealed by Jesus Christ. Therefore, no accuser can stand up against you. And I'm going to tell you, they are trying their damnedest to get a hold of you. They're trying their best to destroy you. But today, you've been sealed by Jesus Christ. You're his child. They cannot harm you. Because then they're declaring war against God. And they'll come off second best. Please, I'm not putting God to say in a bad light here. God is our God. He's a mighty God. He's an awesome God. He's a creator of all things. Okay. And just as Nehemiah was able to claim that, you see, that seal was a guarantee of his protection and provision. It does not mean that the enemy will not foolishly enough attack these will. But it means that you can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You can overcome, folk. You have safe passage. You are secure. You are provided for by a king, by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The last seal that I believe that we need to look at is this. Is that there's a legacy. It's a comfort for you to have God with God's endorsement. It provides you with an unswaying guarantee of assurance. And it settles your eternal legacy. Your inheritance and destiny are settled. In Romans 8, 15 through 17, we read this. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you receive the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If we indeed share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12 through 14 says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the words of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed that you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Those are loaded words. They are powerful. They settle the question that makes your promise from on high. No wonder these heirs of heaven are described as being confident. In Revelation chapter 17, they cried out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. See, they were confident. Secondly, they were joyful. They fall down on their faces in Romans 7:11. Fall down on their faces before the throne and worship God, saying, Amen, praise and glory and worship and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. They blessed in Revelation 7:16 through 17. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scalding heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to the springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. You see, folk, that's what Joseph experienced that day that he was released. He woke up all scraggly, all dirty from the prison. I'm sorry. But that afternoon, he had been given the power of Egypt. Did you ever wonder what was going through his mind at the time? I believe he was saying over and over, wow, wow, thank you, God. Thank you. I'm so unworthy, but God has blessed me this time. Then he started counting the lessons he had learned while he was in prison. And folk, as I close this morning, I want to share maybe some thoughts that might have gone through his mind, just to encourage you and help you just sort of meditate on it. During a time, that waiting time, you know that time when you're hurting, when you think that nothing's happening, when you think your world is going to collapse, you're going to die. During that waiting period, trust God without panicking. Oh, come on. Come on. Trust God without panicking. God's saying to you, wait. So we're going to a flat spin. Eh? Ask me, I know what I'm talking about. I've shared it with Pastor Keith and with Larry and Shirley. Eh? They know what I'm going, what I'm talking about. I get into such a flat spin, I go into like a whirlwind, man. I believe one of the things he's saying is, trust God, don't panic. Because you see, as I said earlier on, we don't know what's happening behind the scenes. And if you have to wait, it's a time of learning. It's a time of preparing for something greater that God has for you. Okay? Count on Him to remember the cupbearers of your life. Those guys that make promises and never come to the fore. Count on God to deal with it. That's not for you to take vengeance. That's God to deal with it. Okay? Leave God to settle that one. He's just asking you to be His servant. To be the servant He wants you to be. Be faithful. Stay true. God will not forget you, nor will He forsake you. The second thing that I believe that he realized was, when the reward comes, be sure to thank God and don't get a big head. Ouch. Don't get a big head. Listen, only God can bring you out of the dungeons. And some of you here today are on the verge of a spiritual promotion. You don't even know it because God doesn't announce His promotion in advance. But when it happens, don't stay quiet. Thank God for it. Folk, God is faithful. And I believe He's just as faithful today as what He was in the day of Joseph. All through history, God has always been faithful. There may be dry spells and hard times when you get hurt deeply. And you've just experienced that hurt. It may be God's plan to get you ready. But one thing I want to say this to you as we close is this. There are those prophets, the prophecy experts, spend a lot of time talking about the mark of the beast. You know that 666 thing? They spin it maybe into more than what it should be. It's a mark of the beast. But I tell you what, they're trying to get you to try and compromise. They get you to panic. They get you to fear through that thing. Don't think that it's not true. It is true because the Bible says it. Okay? But don't you think it's time for us to concentrate more on the mark of God, which is a seal that seals us as His children in the kingdom of heaven. Folk, I'm not saying that that mark of the beast doesn't exist. But you know what? My attitude is, Father, I want Your mark. Father God, seal me with Your seal, with Your signet ring, that people can see that I'm Your child. I believe that's where we need to be. And today I leave that with you as a challenge. Concentrate on being the person that God has called you to be. Concentrate on the victory that God has given you over the past weekend. And I tell you what, many of us may not have said much, but I believe there has been victory in your life. Because God is the one who seals it with His signature. Jesus stands, and you may have been the been a bad sinner during the week, but I believe by His grace, He's saying, you know what? As a prodigal son, I still put the ring on your finger. You are still my child. Folk, let's concentrate on Jesus Christ and not on the things of this world. Let's concentrate on maintaining that mark, keeping it there, sealed by the blood of Jesus. And I leave that with you this morning and say, folk, let's stand together and accept what Jesus has for us.